To be clear, the deputy chiefs of staff of the services definitely stayed on message in terms of urging Congress to pass a fiscal year 2011 budget and not to cut their request for 2012. But when asked about whether they considered the nation's fiscal problems a national security threat, the unanimous answer to the House Armed Services Subcommittee on Readiness was yes. And whether DOD needs a leaner, meaner acquisition process, again, yes. General Daniel Bolger is the Army's deputy chief of staff.
I think what we'd say is, procurement as written now is designed about making it perfect in every regard as we can, and we've probably made it too complicated. And I think we need to settle for just good enough. I know for the Army in particular in this war, we've brought a lot of things on through our operational needs statement, which doesn't go through the normal procurement process, from small business and from others, good ideas. Maybe of 10 good ideas that are brought to a unit, maybe 8 of them don't work, but 2 of them do.
Bolger says one hugely prominent example of that non-traditional acquisition approach was the Mine-Resistant Ambush Protected Vehicle Program, MRAP. The military issued its request for proposals for MRAPs in November 2006 in response to the growing threat of improvised explosive devices in Iraq. A little more than a year later, the armored vehicles were rolling off assembly lines at a rate of 1,300 per month. The MRAP vehicles were first bought by the Marine Corps, who needed an armored vehicle quickly for explosive ordnance disposal and other hazardous missions. General Richard Tryon, the Marines' deputy commandant, says the service started that rapid acquisition process through a universal needs statement, or an UNS, something that may prove instructive for faster acquisitions in the future, he says.
I think we're informed to a certain extent with the urgent unfilled requirements, the urgent UNS process that manifested over the course of the Iraq and now the Afghan conflict that facilitated the acquisition of gear that was needed on the battlefield quickly. And I know that the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, is examining exactly the kind of question that you just posed to us to determine how we might better streamline process and accelerate acquisition to achieve the kind of products that we need, the reliable kind of products that we need to succeed in the battlefield.
General Herbert Carlisle, the Air Force's Deputy Chief of Staff for Operations, agrees DOD's acquisition processes need an overhaul. He says the military can no longer afford the time and money consumed by doing things the way it has been.
We have a tendency sometimes to go to the exquisite, and we can't afford to go to the exquisite. So I think good enough is exactly, as Dan said, is right. I think there's an economies of scale. I think there's stability in a program that allows it to go through a process. I think sometimes impatience on part of a variety of audiences, be it a consumer in a warfighter or job creation, whatever, there's a lot of people that will create impatience, and sometimes that causes problems in your programs as you move forward. And I couldn't agree more that we've got to get it right, and we've got to fix the procurement and acquisition process in the Department of Defense if we're going to be able to maintain the level of feeling of our combat forces that we need for the future.
Admiral Bruce Klingon, the Navy's Deputy Chief of Naval Operations, says part of getting acquisitions and procurement reform done right is to create a process that accurately defines the military's requirements, what they need rather than what they want.
We don't gold watch them as we might have in the beginning of my career. We're looking for parity or overmatch sufficient to match the capacity equation. We're taking a holistic approach to resolving the procurement challenges that we face.
At the same time, though, he warned the committee that Congress shouldn't look at DOD budget reductions as a way to restrain the deficit, even though he and his fellow panelists acknowledge that the national deficit is without a doubt a national security risk.
The Department of Defense and certainly the Navy budget is carrying a level of risk this year, FY12 and into out years as we look at that. That would cause me to suggest that one of the solutions to the deficit spending that I would not advise is to diminish DOD and certainly the Navy's budget. I think the Secretary of Defense has said that 12 is a reduction from what we thought would be an increase, but still an increase. And then as we begin to plan in the out years, it's pretty flat. But to cause a decline, I think, at a time when we're trying to reset and reconstitute the force and meet an evolving security environment that's going to invite multiple concurrent diverse crises would in fact increase risk.
In a related story, the Pentagon earlier this month released new DOD-wide guidance for competitive source selection. The 26-page memo signed by Shay Assad, the Pentagon's Director of Defense Procurement and Acquisition Policy, is designed to standardize and simplify source selection across all military services. When it goes into effect in July, it'll require standardized contractor rating criteria across DOD. It'll also mandate a source selection advisory council for any competitive contract worth more than $100 million. That council will be charged with conducting its own comparative analysis of all the proposals a DOD component receives under that source selection process and making its own recommendations. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.